Hello, and welcome to the Parental Advisory Movie Podcast. We are your hosts, Jeff Hall and
Patrick Terry. We're two dads with a love for movies.
Join us as we discuss movies we have seen with our kids,
as well as movies we have seen without them.
Good morning, Patrick. How's it going?
Pretty good, Jeff. How about you?
I am okay. I'm currently nursing a concert hangover. I did not drink at this venue, and mainly because it looked like the kind of bar that serves a lot of beer. Mm-hmm. It do mixed drinks, but the mixed drinks I like usually involve a soft drink product. So like a rum and coke or something like that. And I still haven't. We're going on year five or year six of me not having had a soda. And I don't want to screw it up just to order a damn drink at this bar.
Right.
So no drink. So no drink for me. I went and saw this pop punk band called 408. One of our coworkers went with me because it was an 18 and over show. And so you can go. Mm-hmm. Until I talked to a gentleman who's a little bit younger than me. He was probably the second or third oldest person after me at this venue. But he said, according to Tennessee law, you can bring, if you are the legal guardian of the child, you can bring that child to an 18 and over show. The law basically, the 18 and over applies to the purchaser of the ticket, not to not to people that are attending the show. So I could have taken York as well. Yeah. The gist is, I was like, well, damn. But still, took one of our coworkers. Opening band, definitely, maybe, was great. That's the name of the band. They're from Chicago. It was their first tour, first concert. And they were, I mean, my buddy Travis and I, we were talking about it. The band was tight. You wouldn't have known that it was their first concert and tour. Like, it was, bruh, they're great. And ended up staying after the show and talking to them for a little bit. And the second band, Telltale, not bad. Not really my kind of thing, but they were still good. Mm-hmm. And then the third band was like in this generation's version of Limp Bizkit or Korn or Slipknot, that kind of genre.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of screaming and stuff involved in mosh pits and circles in the pit and even crowd surfing. I kept my distance because I know my age.
Right.
Yeah. But I encouraged Travis to jump on in there, and somebody that is in his mid 20s, I highly encouraged it. And it was like the band's last song. I'm like, bro, I said, dude, go up and crowd surf. He's just like, I've been thinking about it. I said, so if you're going to do it, you're going to want to do it now because they're about done. I said, all right. I said, I got you though. I'll film you. I did. And he got up there, and then, yeah, it was great to see him crowd surf. I for like a fraction of like, we'll say for about 2 seconds, I'm like, I gotta go up and do it too. I mean, you only live once, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But then I also realized, you only live once, but you can get injured often. So
it's true. And so, that injury can last, can linger.
Yes. So I'm like, maybe not. So I held off, but I loved watching Travis have an amazing time. He's like, he wound up in the circle. He goes, man, I tripped on, like I stepped on like a sweatshirt. I picked it up and nobody came looking for it. So he held on to it the entire rest of the show and ended up going home with a free sweatshirt.
Hey, you take what victories you can get.
Yep. Well, this one lady found a pair of glasses. She's like, I don't know who these belong to.
Claim them until somebody does.
That's saying she had a pair on. I'm like, maybe y'all had the same prescription.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take advantage.
Yeah, man. So we saw 408, and I'm just letting TikTok algorithms work. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I came across them. They're from Orlando. A nice bunch of young men. And yeah, they put on a great show. I was actually up front. I cannot tell you the last time I've been at the front of a show.
Yep. I mean, when I went to see Ari Lennox, I was in the front. In the front and in the corner. Either way. Yep.
Actually, same. Yeah.
Yeah. I picked my corner, bathroom, and then came back to it and just stayed there. I thought I was going to have people push up front, but
yeah,
it was cool. But yeah, that was, then it's better being up front if you can.
Yeah, I did up front and corner because I had already seen the previous bin. Mm-hmm. If you don't know what's happening behind you, you may wind up either in a mosh pit. You may be the lead person for stage diving to try and catch. And you may wind up in a circle that you didn't want to be in, which that also sounded bad, but also applies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you stay to the side, you have a little more room for exit. And the only thing that was behind me was the merch table, so I felt safe there. But no, it was a great show. I even got home in a decent time. Look at me. And then had to get up and tackle Monday. And I woke up and, yeah, my ankles were hurting. My ankles were hurting. My head was too. And I'm like, fuck. I was like, all right. Yeah. It's what it is.
Yep. Just got to take it with it.
Yep. But it was worth it. So a week from today, York and I go see the Postal Service for concert number 2 on our list. Mm-hmm. I feel highly, highly, highly confident there will be no mosh pits, no crowd surfing, and no in those circles. However, there will be a lot of flashlight lights going around. That one I will predict.
Yeah.
It's going to be a nice, chill show. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah, less stress on the yes. body.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so York's... York was supposed to have his martial arts competition, the All Valley Tournament. Mm-hmm. And he ended up having a bicycle accident on Friday, as, you know, kids do, you know. He turned a corner and, you know, those gutters that are, they're like square and they're actual on the street, not on the curb. I don't know. They're square and they're like, had the like little slats and everything kind of angled. Mm-hmm. And York's tire caught one, and then he went over the bars. Yeah. And hit his left lower leg on that. And so he scraped it up pretty good, but I think it may have also, like, nothing's broken, thank goodness.
Right.
But I think it bruised it, though.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't do much the rest of Friday evening. Just rested and iced it and bandaged and everything. But Saturday, he was supposed to compete Saturday morning at 10:45, and he's like limping, walking.
Yeah.
So, like, y'all need to call and let them know he's not coming. But even with that, his location, because it was a tournament between the 4 locations, and their location won, the national location actually won. So they beat Brentwood, Murfreesboro, and Columbia. So it was great. So congrats to them and to all that competed. I know York, I think, kind of wishes he could have done it, but here we are. Meanwhile, Grayson had her soccer game and won. Their team won 8-2.
Nice.
Yes. Came back from that 4-3 loss and followed it up with an 8-2 win. So good job, Dragons.
They learned from that first win and took the positives and executed better.
Exactly. And then lastly, while Grayson was at a roller skating get-together yesterday, I had the Mavericks game on. And now, we didn't even talk about this. I had wagered our good friend Dustin Rubin, $2 late fee, who is a Clippers fan,
mm-hmm.
that, hey, how about a little friendly wager? You know, no money, because, you know, we'll have it. But how about whoever's team loses, either Mavericks or Clippers, whichever team loses, that person has to shave their beard and keep it shaven until the winning team either gets knocked out or wins the championship. Dustin more or less went on a rant about why no. He said, no, this is the Clippers. They're going to mess it up.
Yeah.
And then Kawhi didn't play yesterday, out with an aggravated knee. And he was talking about, you know, Russell, I think it's Russell Westbrook's hand and Harden's foot or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, bro, you wouldn't know it yesterday because Harden, like, stepped up and, you know, pretty much, I mean, played in an outstanding game. The Mavericks, however, forgot. This is the team the team I watched yesterday is not the team I'd been watching all season. That's for sure.
Yeah.
They scored 30 points in the first half. Half.
Dude, that's not good. No. That's not a good sign at all.
They were down, I think, 19 or 20 at half. Mm. I told Dustin, I said, yeah, I need somebody to go find the Luka Voodoo doll that's being used and take it away from whoever.
Yeah.
Because so they come back from halftime, and then the Mavericks score 31 points in the third quarter.
Dang.
And they kept staying. Like, I think the biggest deficit was 23 or 25 points. And I'm just over here just like, what is going on? At that point, I was just like, I'm just watching it. They come back great, but at the same time, it's game one.
Right.
Pick it up in the next two or three, and yeah, next four, I guess, at this point. And right. Yeah, so it was, they came back, they only lost by 12. And I told Dustin, I said, considering how much they were down by, I'm okay with them losing only by 12. And yet Lucas still had a double-double. He still wound up with 30 points.
Hey,
just slow started.
He was basically doing his thing. It's just team's not.
But yet, yeah. But like everybody was just, it was just pinging off that rim. I was like, good night. Yeah. So it's all right. Just, it's game one, but yeah, we'll go from there. Go from there. And that's pretty much been our week, dude.
Cool.
Yep.
I haven't had too much going on in my week. Just uneventful week.
That's, okay.
You know, yeah. Like, not much is really. Oh, never mind. My niece had her first field day on Friday.
Yeah.
And I have field day, you know, they have where, you know, the first, second place, third place winners. This was more of a just get the kids out and just have them have fun. So
yes. Get them introduced to it.
Yeah.
Right. Get them introduced to it.
Yeah. So they had some water games, just something for they could run around and do kids stuff.
Just enjoy. Yeah, right.
Just have a fun day. So she enjoyed herself. And yeah. So hopefully they'll, you know, what was it? My mom was telling me something. One of the students didn't want to get their hair wet. And so after she said that, one of the boys dumped water on her. And she was like, why did you do that? But this Friday, she's going to have her graduation from pre-K.
Oh,
yeah.
Those are always fun.
Yeah. So I think it's like 8:30 in the morning. So I should be able to attend.
Oh, yeah. That does remind me. Grayson has her awards day May 20th. I don't know. But it's a day we'll probably have to reschedule for us for recording, which I know will be a problem. But because I'll be tasked with going to that. I'm not sure when they have their field day. I know it's coming up after TCAP. They got TCAP still. So still doing that.
Yep. And then we're 2 weeks away from Kyla's graduation
from school.
Yeah. I don't know. She sent me a picture of her, you know, when she applied for cosmetology. And I'm just like, yeah, that time's coming.
Yep.
So she's still waiting. I don't think she's heard back yet.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure she'll get it because she's
already
been doing hair. She was doing one of her friend's hair this past weekend. And
she do yours?
You know.
Yeah. I mean, but, it looks good. I mean,
yeah. But, you know, then she's wanting to do like find a at-home job because she had injured her toe when she jumped into the pool at the time and it's still giving her problems.
Oh, yeah.
So she's wanting to find something where she can just be off her feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it doesn't affect her cosmetology because you're on your feet a little.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
So we'll see how that goes.
Dang.
Yeah. But for me, my week's been uneventful.
Okay. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. I yearn for those weeks, to be honest.
Yeah. I did go to McKay.
Oh, okay.
I did get to do that because I hadn't been there, I don't think, this year
at all. Yeah.
Yeah. And so found some good movies. I got Devil's Advocate, Unopened, Casablanca, Unopened. So I don't know when I'm going to open it.
Yeah.
Guess that's a good pick by Charlotte.
Yep. Charlotte's like, I love Casablanca.
Then I picked up The Departed.
Oh,
so I already bought it, but the reason why I got this,
Charlotte's because, like, you say Dog Park Kid? Dog Park. I like that one. Sorry.
Yeah. Go ahead. Reason why I picked it up is because it came with a small version of the screenplay, the book,
like, oh,
a
little nice
booklet for the screenplay. So I was like,
yeah,
I'll double dip. And but it's a special edition as well. The first one I bought was just the movie, nothing extra with it. So a few extra stuff. And then, yeah, that's
okay.
It.
Okay. Those are some good pickups, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm doing movie education with one of our coworkers. Mm-hmm. And he's getting through. He's getting through them. But he's like, Jeff, man, these are great. I just can't get it. It's like, I can't believe I missed out on these. I said, well, dude, you were young. You can't
watch them all.
I mean, how are you going to know? Yeah.
Yeah.
I said, and when you get done with these, I'll have another batch ready for you. What was the last one he was watching? I forgot. But he was enjoying it. He just hadn't finished it. But yeah. I said, yeah, dude. These are timeless classics.
Yeah.
It's like
if you have books and like, I finished the last book. Cool. Here's another stack.
Here's a new series. Yep. Enjoy.
Check it
out. What? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. He's watching The Running Man.
Ah.
Schwarzenegger's Running Man. Yeah, yeah. So, one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Which Edgar Wright will be doing a remake of with Glenn Powell from Top Gun Maverick. As the lead. So, you figure they probably had to get like somebody like, I don't know, Drew Carey or... Oh my God, I wonder if Pat Sajak would do it. They have to get a game show host to play the game show host. They just have to.
At least somebody that's well known that's had a game show. Yeah.
Yeah. They'll get Wayne Brady. You know it. Don't. You're shaking your head because you know I'm right on this one.
It'll just be sitting there watching, like, yeah, Jeff called that one.
Yep. It'll be, let's make a deal, but.
For your life.
Yep. For your life. And he'll Wayne Brady the hell out of it. And it'll probably just make it. Because was Edgar Wright directing? Probably. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. No, Edgar Wright's directing. Graham Norton. Yes. I see that one.
Well,
maybe. I don't know. I think Drew Carey would probably do the best because I think he could go. Yeah. I think he could kind of go sleazy dark. Not saying Wayne Brady couldn't, because, you know, I know Wayne Brady could cut a bitch. I know. I remember that Dave Chappelle bit. Wayne Brady going to have to cut a bitch? Yeah. That was great. But I actually look forward to that one because I know it'll be wild. So, oh, man. Speaking of wild, trailers. All right. So we have the trailer for the animated, the fully animated, not just computer generated animated, but fully animated. Well, computer animation, I guess. Never mind. You get it. Of Transformers 1, Witness the Origin, that nobody wants. Nobody wants.
Nobody asked.
I'm sorry. Nobody's asked for an origin story of the Transformers. Well,
at least got one for the theater.
Yeah. Tough shit. We're getting one anyways.
Yeah.
The untold origin story of Optimus Prime and Megatron, better known sworn enemies, but once were friends, bonded like brothers, who changed the fate of Cybertron forever. With the voice talents of Chris Hemsworth as Orion Pax, which is Optimus Prime's name before he became Prime, Brian Tyree Henry as D-16, also Megatron, and then you have Scarlett Johansson as Alita 1, which I believe is going to be RC. I feel like she voiced RC in the last Transformer movie that RC was in. Something I feel like.
No, that was Eliza Coshy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
you call on that one. Keegan-Michael Key, voice in B-127, which Bumblebee. Mm-hmm. Then you have Lawrence Fishburne as Alpha Trion and Steve Buscemi as voice. That's all it says. No, it just unknown who he's playing. But I want to hear Steve Buscemi be Soundwave because it's more robotic. And it just, it'd be, hello, fellow. How do you do, fellow robots? But I watched the trailer and I'm just like, I don't know. I don't want to. And I love Transformers, but.
Yeah. I mean, even just by this description, I'm like, that's the first time I've read it, heard it, and I'm like, I'm not interested, but I'm pretty sure it's because it's Transformers. I'm going to check it out. Just
yeah, same, pause. Same. And that's me. And that's how they get us. Bless. All right. Well, we have till September 20th to try and enjoy it more.
Maybe they'll change their mind.
It's right. All right. So we have, next we have coming to Netflix June 7th, Hitman. A runtime, rated R with a runtime of 1 hour, 55 minutes. A professor moonlighting as a hitman of sorts for his city police department descends into dangerous, dubious territory when he finds himself attracted to a woman who enlists his services. Starring Adria Arjona, Glenn Powell, Retta, Austin Amio, and Molly Bernard. So it's just written and directed by Richard Linklater. So the story of a fake hitman, apparently. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
It looks like it's probably like a, you know, it's a comedy. So yeah, it looks interesting. I'll watch it. It's on Netflix. Hell yeah. Next we have M. Night Shyamalan's latest movie, Trap, starring Josh Hartnett, Haley Mills. All right. I see you, Haley Mills. And,
just saying it's been a minute on her.
Yeah, right. And Ariel Donahue, a father and teen daughter attend a pop concert where they realize they are at the center of a dark and sinister event. From what I understand, Josh Hartnett plays a serial killer taking his kid to a pop concert in which there's like cameras everywhere and he's, I guess, trying to get out and can't. And that's about as far as they are wanting to let you know. We shall see. Yes. But knowing M. Night, there's definitely going to be more to it. But yeah, should be interesting. That's coming out August 9th because M. Night likes to release his movies in August.
Well, at least he's consistent.
Yeah, yeah. So, although I feel like Knock at the Cabin was this month. It was like April, but he definitely likes to put them in August at the same time. And then lastly, dropping today, we have Deadpool and Wolverine. So an actual trailer with Wolverine in it. So that is dropping as we speak, actually. And that movie is set to come out July 26th. So you better be ready and bring your friends. I have a really bad Ryan Reynolds impression. You are welcome. Oh, bless. But yeah, it's a good group of trailers. All right, you ready to get into it?
Yep.
Let's
do this.
All right, let's grab our cameras and get ready to snap some pictures. So let me rephrase this. We waited on me to go see Civil War so that we could talk about it this week. If I would have been more on the ball, we would have talked about it last week. Nonetheless, I got up the courage and went and saw it because I was still kind of hesitant. Because this should tell you what kind of a movie, to be honest, that Leave the World Behind is. This movie affected me so much. I did not want to see this movie that I thought was going to be too similar and going to have me thinking and stressing about the possibilities of the things in movies actually occurring.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely got an adult beverage from, I made a new friend. Let's put it that way. Yeah. At Opry Mills. Her name is Cassie. She's very nice. She works the bar, but also works other areas. And I was telling her why I was getting, she's asking what I was saying. I go, and then I told her, and then I said, and this is what's going to help me. Anyways, so, and then after the movie, she asked what I thought and everything. She was planning on going to see it the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so shout out to Cassie at the Regal Opry Mills for assisting me in my liquid courage. So here we go. A24's latest and Alex Garland's latest, written and directed. Rated R, runtime 1 hour 49 minutes. A journey across a dystopian future in America, following a team of military-embedded journalists as they race against time to reach D.C. before rebel factions descend upon the White House. So yeah, you have the U.S. is in a civil war. You have basically the rebel factions being Texas, California. I forgot, there was like, those were the two biggest, but
yeah.
I should have pulled up the map that they had out. That they are, I guess, you know, I guess could be classified as separatists from the U.S. So it's very fascinating. And I read that Alex Garland picked California and Texas not only for their locations, but also he wanted to be sure this movie was not this movie did not take a political stance, which is why you really never find out what caused the Civil War. You're just thrown into it. That's like the why of the disagreements and why they've been fighting is not the story, so to speak. The story is of these journalists trying to go interview the president as to why they won't do a ceasefire and, you know, negotiate. And, you know, as the one thing this movie kind of focuses on is the dangers that photojournalists put themselves in hostile areas.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously most of them are embedded with a unit. And we shouldn't want that to be a career that is possible, but unfortunately it is. And that they go overseas, risk their lives to bring us, you know, pictures and stories from across the world of what they're seeing, experiencing, and what our very brave soldiers are having to go through. And so this kind of brings that, but they localize it to our country that is in upheaval. But yeah, I feel like he made a smart decision choosing California, which is, you know, known to be more liberal, and Texas, which is known to be more conservative, and have those two be the two that are working together to want to overthrow the current government that is instilled at that in this movie. So we'll start off with Kirsten Dunst is kind of our lead person. Her name is Lee. She's been a war journalist for years and years and years, been through many, it's reported from many different wars and battle fronts, and documented that. You know, she's, I guess, I don't want to say famous like a celebrity famous, but famous in her field.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Wagner Moura, who's Joel, did you ever figure out what his actual, like, was he a producer or was he just like a...
I think just a journalist, like reporter, like actual interviewing, that was his purpose of this. Lee's photographer, and he's going to interview the president. So,
I never was 100% on that, but because he obviously never had a camera or anything else. But he still wanted to go to those areas as well.
He had a lust for it. He's like, I got to be a part of this.
Yes. And then we have Kaylee Spaney, who, if you saw the movie Priscilla, she played Priscilla Presley, and I come to find out is from my hometown of Springfield, Missouri. How about that?
It's crazy. Her character's also from Missouri.
From Missouri. I feel like they're like, hey, can I make my character from Missouri? They're like, they're probably like, I don't care.
It's cool.
I feel like that was an easy change of changing the script.
Yeah.
So, which really just added more to the story when we get to the scene with Jesse Plemons and him asking what kind of American are you? And
yeah,
which God, that one question is like the one line in that movie that just sent chills. It was just actually in the trailer and was one of the things I'm like, I don't know if I want to see this.
Right.
Because one is Jesse Plemons, who, God damn, he's a good actor.
Yeah.
I mean, and this is that type of role that he just excels at, that just real creep that you do not know what.
Going on inside his head.
No, you don't.
No idea. It's
And he excels at those characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, dang.
That was the most tense moment of the
movie. Yes. And he's wearing those like pink sunglasses too, that mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, there's something off of this dude, his full camo outfit and pink sunglasses that I feel like he took off of a dead body.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, for those sure. are not his. Like, you could tell those are not his.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's asking everybody where they're from. But then, you know, she said Missouri. He's like, Missouri, huh? So not really Democrat, not really Republican, kind of in the middle there. Okay. Okay. You know, yeah. I was like, it's a little more red than anything. But thanks for trying. But yeah, it is. Wow. Anyways, we'll get to that. But then you have, I think I already said, Nick Offerman plays the president. And he looked great. I mean, he looked very presidential, but
yeah.
Also, you know, it's Nick Offerman's voice, so it's very authoritative and direct.
Mm-hmm.
And you really didn't know what was going on with him either, though. And he wasn't even in it a whole lot. Like, I think you heard his voice on the radio more than anything. And it's just crazy. But yeah, he was great. Then you also have Jefferson White as Dave, Nelson Lee as Tony, Evan Lai as Bohai. Yeah, it is just, this movie is so intense from start to finish. There was not one. I don't think there wasn't a time I felt, I don't want to say let up, but I mean like relaxed. In this scene, I always felt slightly on edge.
Yeah, even during a calm moment, you're just like, I know anything can happen at any moment.
Any moment.
Yeah. Yeah, because you see their journey, you know, they stop at gas station, get gas. And I was thinking in that scene, you know, they had the two people hanging up. I'm like, I don't think these three outside the gas station are the ones running the gas station. I think they came in and took over. But that was like,
No, I was just going to say, I felt that. Oh, I forgot to mention the great Stephen McKinley Henderson plays Sammy in the movie. And I guarantee you've seen him in all the things.
Yeah.
Fences, Lady Bird. He's in both Dune movies, Lincoln. Mm-hmm. I guarantee him he's a great character. Bo is Afraid, like Causeway, like the Wu-Tang American Saga show that you've talked about. Like he's in Devs, because everybody's in Devs or from Devs, which Alex Garland also did the show Devs that was on FX. Yeah. No, great actor who is from not Springfield, but Kansas City, Missouri.
Huh.
There you go. Yeah. But yeah, everybody in this movie acted stellar acting.
Yes.
It's A24, so the cinematography is so on point. My God, yeah. Oof. And I saw it regular screen because I'll be honest, I wanted to go see it in IMAX. I was not staying up till 10 o'clock to go see this in IMAX. I got to go to work in the morning. I'm not going to be able to hang. And I really don't, you know, I really want to be sure I'm present during this movie. So I went to an earlier one. So it starts out, they're photographing basically a confrontation in New York.
Yeah. It starts in New York. Yep.
And you see Lee and Joel trying to get in there, trying to get pictures, trying to document everything. And then you see young Jesse trying to get in there as well and getting knocked around, getting, you know, knocked around and being a little bit too close and not keeping enough distance to where she's
showing her where inexperience.
It's showing her inexperience, but she's instead of documenting the event, she is becoming part of the event without her, without wanting to be. And so Lee gives her her press vest, to let everybody know that she's with the press. She's not part of the, what's going on. She's just trying to document. So that's the same thing. So that what happened to Jesse won't happen again. And so they're at the hotel later, and Jesse comes up, talks to her, tries to give her back the vest, and she says, "No, keep it. You're going to need it." And then she talks about what a good, what a fan she is, and of Lee's, and she's like, "Okay, well, I got to go." She says, "I appreciate that, I got to get to bed. Pretty much, it's been a long day. I need to go to my room." So then she hangs out with Joel and Sammy, and then the next morning, there she is in the SUV with Sam and Joel, and Lee's like, "What is going on? Why is that girl in there?"
Yeah. It was funny. Tried to have a private conversation, but the back of the van was open and they heard everything. And she basically like, "Whatever happens to her, that's not on me."
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. And Joel's like, "Well, you left me alone to decide on Sammy, so."
Yeah.
He was flat-footed too.
Yeah, yeah. Also, he was like, "You weren't much." I said, "Were you even much older than she is now when you first started?"
Yeah.
And that's what got her. She's like, that's like, "Listen here, mother.
Like, don't call me out."
Yeah. Fine. So, yeah, they start their little road journey.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, their first stops, this gas is like, "Here, let's go. There's actually a gas station. Let's get gas." It's like, "We already have a tank. We can make it." He's like, "Yeah, but if there's a chance to stop, we should take it."
Yeah, Sammy's that wise man. Like, "Look, if you got a shot, go ahead and do it."
Yeah. And then, of course, as you mentioned, the gentleman at the gas station, armed with their, AR-15s and all that. And you can see in the car wash, two dudes hanging up. And I couldn't make out at first what it was.
Yeah, I didn't.
Got closer.
I saw it on the second watch. I was able to catch it. But the first time, I'm like, "What she mean she saw something?" Yeah.
I was like, "Well, there's got to be something in there because they're kind of going back to it a couple of times." Yeah. Still can't really tell.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... God, that's intense.
It's like each encounter just gets worse.
Yes. And again, very intense scene because, while they're trying to talk about getting gas, and they're like, "Well, U.S. currency doesn't work." And they're like, "Well, I have Canadian currency." And they're like, "Okay." I'm like, "Yeah, we can." Okay.
It's like 300 Canadian. Yeah,
Canadian.
He's like, "All right." So obviously in this universe, Canadian dollars more than U.S.
Well, right now, I guess, because they're, in the Civil War. So I was like, okay, that kind of checks out, I guess. A stronger dollar, one might say.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they're doing that. And then Jesse's like, "I'll be right back." Like, where the fuck are you going? I just got to go check out something real quick. And then that's when and then one of the dudes ends up following her, which that was creepy.
Yeah, I didn't know what was going
on. Me either. I said, "This little girl's about to get raped." I was like, "That's what's about to." And nope. She saw the two hanging dudes and the dude wanted to go. And
yeah, and just to backtrack, when they had the issue with her tagging along, Joel said, "Well, she's 23. I'm like, "Dude, she looks 12.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I would believe too, maybe maybe 18.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no offense, Patrick, but we're not exactly young anymore and everybody looks 12.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to realize that I need to not say that out loud anymore. Just be respectful and just.
I mean, I also was like, it's possible because people do look younger than their age. So.
Yep.
But yeah.
People don't believe I'm 46, almost 47.
Yeah, thankfully. That's my telling me. I was in my mid 20s. I'm like, shit, I wish. Thank you.
I wish. Yeah.
But yeah.
Let's see here. Actually, 20.
Yeah, she's pretty close to
that age.
The actress, yeah.
Yeah, she was born in 98.
Yeah.
I probably do know her parents. I ain't going to lie. Because I looked at that and it's like, from Springfield. And then I saw what year she was born. I go, there's probably a better chance I know her parents. Which is funny. But yeah, it's a very intense scene because he's like, she's like, can I take a picture of them? You know, and these guys are not dead. They're just hanging. They're being tortured.
Yeah.
And she just froze. She's like, I didn't take a single, you know, I could have. And then Lee comes up and kind of checks like, hey, everything okay?
Yeah.
And then Lee's like, can I get you between the two of them? He's like, yeah, sure.
She basically does what Jesse intended to do, but she was so freaked out. She forgot she even had cameras.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, damn, can't do that. You're going to miss the scoop.
Yeah, you're going to. So, but it just shows her youth, but also mm-hmm. and inexperience, but also she really may not know what she's getting herself into.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, she probably had that thought like, ooh, I should have stayed in New York.
Yeah.
Lee has a point.
Yep. It's like, damn it. She might have been right. But yeah, they continue their journey and they, you know, wind up at stopping for the night. And then there's a bunch of, like, you see airstrikes going on
mm-hmm.
in the background and everything. And Joel says, if they're still fighting in the morning, can we go? Basically, I really want to go. Can we go? And
like a little kid, like, yeah, I gotta go.
We gotta go. So sure enough, Sammy stays in the car, but everybody else, because Sammy just is going because so he can get a ride to Charlottesville.
Yeah.
But then after that, he's done. Don't take him any further. And to meet up with the front line and report from there.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, they could continue there. And that was kind of the deal they made with Jesse, that she gets left in Charlottesville. She doesn't go to D.C.
Yeah. Because it's really bad in D.C.
Yeah. So they end up going to the, so yeah, daylight comes and there they are.
Yep.
Mixing it in there. And Jesse's out there trying to get as close a picture, but she, you know, they're getting shot at too. So he's having to hold, she's wearing her Kevlar and he's holding like the back of her Kevlar. So if she gets too far, he could just yank her back.
Yeah.
You know, to kind of be like, nope, I'm still got you, you know, just.
I can tell he's kind of frustrated too, because he wanted to get real close. Because that's what he wanted.
Yeah.
He's like, I got to protect her as well. But he was just smiling and cheesing, like, man, this is the most fun he's had in a while.
Yeah, which is just
crazy.
Yeah, it means he's just been doing it too long and it's really affected him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. And we see this, that, and as we see on this road journey, that she gets her sea legs, you know, Jesse gets her sea legs, she's moving in. She's getting more comfortable, and Lee is actually getting less.
Yeah.
She starts, you know, it's becoming too much.
She's starting to reach her threshold, I guess.
This is just finally, this might have been it, the final thing.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they're going on this journey to get to this one, it looked like a driving range golf course. I don't know. They had Christmas decorations set up in the name of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And they start driving to see somebody on the ground, just dead. They're like, maybe we should go back, and maybe this way wasn't the best way. We can go back, turn around, go a different direction. Nope.
Joel, I'll just go forward slowly.
yeah, just slow. I'm like, slow? That'd be the wrong speed I would be going through.
Either gun it or go back.
Yeah. Yep. There ain't no slow.
Uh-uh.
So yeah, they... And of course, they get shot at, so they stop, get out, and then they see two, what are we going to call them? Rebels? I don't know.
Yeah, they don't have any type
separatists?
Of
separatists. I don't know.
They have the
Western
on
Front.
They were Western forces, but
they used color to like multicolor, like in mm-hmm. the dude's hair, and then like on some of the other people, they had like different color. Either outfits or like same thing, hair, something like that, mm-hmm. signify that they're, you know, they're part of that rebel separatist group. And so that's why the dude, like, that's what Alex Garland wanted to use color to sit, you know, on the soldiers to show basically their, whose side they were on.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, they had them trying to say, like, yeah, there's a dude in the house. We're trying to, so he's really good. We've been here for several days trying to get him out.
Yeah.
And yeah, so Lee ends up just kind of laying on the ground, and Jesse's over there trying to get pictures and everything. And she's asking like stupid questions.
But, you know.
And
Joel's asking dumb questions. Joel's asking stupid questions.
Oh, yeah.
Then Soldier asks her, what do you see going on here? A guy in a window trying to shoot you? Because Joel keeps asking these dumb questions. Yeah. Saying we're press. Oh, thanks. Yeah. That explains the word on your van.
On the side of your truck. I was like, damn.
But he just simplifies it. Like, there's a guy in the window trying to kill us, and we're trying to kill him. Simple.
Jesse Plemons actually joined the cast just days before his scene was supposed to be shot due to the original actor dropping out. So Kirsten Dunst, Jesse's wife, recommended him, Plemons, to director Alex Garland. And that's how he got the role. It's good to know.
Word of mouth.
Right. Facts. And again, had the most intense scene of the entire movie.
Yeah.
It was wild. And yeah, things go awry for sure. And they finally do make it to the front line. And, you know, at that point, Jesse ends up staying with Lee and Joel. So they fall in the front line in pretty much into DC.
Yeah.
Because the word came in, they're going in, and the forces are, you know, are dwindling, and there's word that the president might be trying to leave. So they're pushing on in, and it gets really wild and really hairy. The rest of it.
Like the last 15, 20 is just...
It's just nonstop. Yeah. And you're just going, oh, something's going to happen to either this one or this one.
Yeah.
And
the writing's on the wall for sure.
Yep. But this movie is, again, intense from start to finish. But it is an amazing film. I surprisingly want to go rewatch it again. I would love to see it in IMAX before it leaves for Fall Guy takes over.
Yeah.
But I would love to go. Yeah. But it is a fantastic movie, though.
Yeah, and it's more than just the title. It's like a character-driven movie.
Very,
It's not just, oh, we got war going on. That's what we're focusing on. That's kind of like in the backdrop till the end.
Right.
And then this is more just following these four journalists and everything that they encounter through their journey to D.C.
So Alex Garland decided in order to immerse the actors, so to speak, he decided to use full blanks for gunfire as opposed to either half or quarter blanks, resulting in making it sound as loud as real gunfire.
Yeah.
Which, well, yeah.
Yes, traumatize your cast.
Exactly. But it was wild. So yeah, Alex Garland did tell a reporter that during the premiere of the movie that the pairing of California and Texas was in part to obfuscate the politics, but more importantly, that these two states put aside political differences to challenge an unconstitutional, and corrupt president who is killing American civilians. He said, are you saying extremist politics would always remain more important than a president of this sort? That sounds crazy to me. But yeah, it grossed $26 million domestically in its opening weekend, more than any other A24 film, surpassing Hereditary, which made $14 million. It was also the first A24 film to open at number one at the box office.
Nice.
Yup. Yeah, great. And the film's release date, April 12, 2024, the real American Civil War began exactly 163 years before that. So, and it costing $50 million, this is the most expensive A24 film, surpassing Beau Is Afraid, which cost $35 million. Still, this movie only cost $50
million. Hey.
Wouldn't know it.
Keep the budget low.
Yep.
So, like, even if it doesn't, even if it's not great financially, you'll at least break even, if nothing else.
Yeah. So, A24 is going to A24.
That for sure.
So, okay. Before we move on, because we definitely need to do that, but one quick thing that I learned, which is sad that I'm learning this now and not in the 20 plus years I lived in Missouri. One of several stories behind why Missouri is known as the, quote, show me state, end quote, suggests that the nickname originated in the mining camps of Leadville, Colorado. Due to an extended miners' strike in the area during the mid-1890s, Missourian miners from the Lead District of Southwest Missouri had been imported to take the places of the strikers. The Joplin miners, which is about 90 minutes southeast of Springfield, the Joplin miners were unfamiliar with Colorado mining methods and required frequent instructions. Pit bosses began saying, "That man is from Missouri. You'll have to show him." Do, 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 do. The more you know. So, yeah. Civil War, definitely go check it out.
Definitely. For sure.
Yep. Oh, my goodness. All right. And then lastly, our second in our double feature is Abigail, a.k.a. Ballerina Vampire. I'm surprised not Abigail colon Ballerina Vampire.
I'm pretty sure they were close to that.
Right? But man, Abigail 2, Ballerina Vampire Revenge. The Revenge of the Ballerina Vampire.
Tiptoeing over your body.
Yes. Jete.
Yay.
Goodness. This is definitely rated R. The runtime of 1 hour 49 minutes. After a group of criminals kidnap the ballerina daughter of a powerful underworld figure, they retreat to an isolated mansion, unaware that they are locked inside with no normal little girl. Starring Melissa Barrera as Joey, most of y'all may know her from the newer Scream movies. And next, Dan Stevens, which we have just seen in Godzilla X-Kong. X-Kong. Mm-hmm. And as Frank, Alicia Weir as Abigail. Oddly enough, her last credit was in Netflix's Matilda the Musical as Matilda.
So you got a thing for being the starring.
Imagine going from Matilda to this movie.
Showing that range.
Man. Next, we have William Catlett as Rickles, Catherine Newton, Sammy, Kevin Durand, who I absolutely love, one of my favorite character actors, as Peter, the late Angus Cloud, who this was his last film before his passing. He filmed all, even though the movie hadn't finished production, he had finished filming all his scenes before the writer's strike, and before he passed. And Giancarlo Esposito as Lambert. And then Matthew Good as Faja. Faja. This was written by Stephen Shields and Guy Busick and directed by Matt Bettinelli Olfin and Tyler Gillett. Y'all will know them from Scream 6, Scream, Ready or Not. They did one of the VHS anthologies, one of the vignettes, there we go, in the first VHS one from 2012. So yeah, it's, so you know, they're known for having a lot of blood.
Horror is their thing.
Yes, horror is their thing, blood is their thing. And they, oddly enough, kept apologizing to the cast for the amount of blood they are using. That's how much they were using. They had blood cannons on set.
It was a lot.
It was a lot. But it's a for me, when it's a vampire movie, yeah, I expect it's all just of that.
Yeah.
And it's cartoonish. Even like in Ready or Not, it's always cartoonish.
Yeah. It's over the top.
Yeah. So, and I knew it was good. And that adds to the adding humor to the movie. Instead of making a straight horror, it's a comedy horror.
Yeah.
And that just adds to it. But yeah. Oh my goodness. So yeah, we've got Joey, Frank. Basically, they gave him nicknames because nobody wanted to know their real names.
Right.
They kidnapped this girl, thinking they're bringing her to like a safe house until the father pays, who all they know is it's a rich father, pays Giancarlo Esposito's character, Lambert, a lot of, you know, $50 million.
Yeah.
And everybody has their reasons for why they're doing it. But Joey's, basically Lambert named him after the Rat Pack. So Joey, Frank, Rickles, as in Don Rickles, the comedian who hung out with them, Sammy, Peter, and Dean. So that's why they had those names. And he hires them to kidnap the girl and then bring him to the house, safe house. It's supposed to be, you know, stay there 24 hours. Until, you know, he pays the money, and they don't know whose kid it is. They just know it's some rich dude.
Yeah.
Until later they find out who her dad is. And then Frank starts freaking out and trying to leave, wanting out of it. And because it's like Kaiser Sose type stories about this family.
Yeah.
And this one assassin that committed these heinous, you know, murders of these people, and they don't even know how that person did it. It's just gruesomely violent. And so, you know, they bond and everything. The girl gets locked up in the room. Joey was put in charge as the only person that could go in there and see the girl and talk to the girl and see if she needed anything. Until they started finding out more information, one person ends up dying, and they're like, oh my god, this assassin person that this family has is in the building, or is in the house. And they're like, well, unless one of us is that person. And yeah, you know, then everybody's suspicious of everybody.
Bit of a whodunit element to it.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's like a clue. It's almost like a clue. And so they're trying to search the house, you know, much like Clue, to see if they can find where the person is. And Rickles and Joey are like, these other idiots are idiots. Yeah. You know, we both kind of have something to live for. We need to try and get out, blah, 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 and stick together. And when they finally go to talk to the girl, shut the door and everything, it is revealed that she is, in fact, a vampire and starts trying to attack them all.
Yeah.
And the hilarity ensues. I mean, and I'd say that, like, legit, you know, it's a comedic way of attacking people, fighting them. They're trying to fight off this girl, you know, which just adds more to it. It'd be different if it was like an adult that turned into a vampire. That'd be more of an, oh shit, this is just more a girl in like a ballerina tutu that's jumping on people trying to bite them and attack them. They're like, I'm not going to hurt you. You're just a little girl. I'm not going to hurt. Nobody's going to hurt you. And then she turns into a vampire. They're like, oh shit. And they start flinging her across the room.
Yeah.
trying to shoot her. They're like, well, that escalated quickly.
Very much so. It's like, oh, that changes things. So yeah, we got to kill you or try at least.
Yeah. And it's just them trying to, one, get out, find a way to get out, also try and survive. And, you know, more things. The mystery gets revealed through all this, why they're there, who their characters really are, why they were brought there. Because it turns out, this wasn't a kidnapping. This was a trap, is what it was.
Yeah, all this isn't a coincidence.
Yeah. And y'all were all brought here for a specific reason. It's wild. It's just the few people I've already talked to this movie about, I said, this movie is just wild, which is what it should be. Cause Ready or Not was just wild.
Yeah.
Once
everything got going. Kind of
way. Yeah.
Yeah. It starts off as seemingly normal, you know, and then shit hits the fan. It's like, it does. Chaotic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wild. Highly recommend. She did 99%. Alicia Weir did 99% of her own stunts.
Yeah.
She'd already had some formal training in dancing, so they kept, because that was only supposed to be a minor part of the story. But because she was showing them what all she could do, they said, let's add more. So they added more dancing of her dancing to show that.
Could you imagine that? You know, you think I'm hard on money, so I got asked to be a part of this group to kidnap a little girl, and then you find out it's way more than what you thought.
Yes.
And you're just
trying to get home to your son.
Yeah. Like, and then you walk on doing a creepy dance with one of the bodies.
Right.
It's different.
Yeah. Well, like, so she had, Alicia Weir hadn't done any. She'd done like acro and dance, which is just, you know, like gymnastics more or less, but you know, but more designed for dance though. And so that's how she was able to do a lot of her stunts and a lot of her dancing. And apparently she went and told her dad that she got to be in a harness and on wires and was flying. Her dad's like, sure you were. Sure you were. She's like, sure I was.
Like, real dad.
Got to walk on a bat. Got to walk on the walk and dance on the banister and fly and then walk on walls today.
Yep.
I was like, dang. All right, girl. And she killed it. I mean, because the way she approached it is Abby is her, you know, her is the little girl. Abigail is the vampire. So she was able to see that it's her playing two different characters.
Yeah.
So, and she crushed it. I mean,
legit. Being the innocent girl, wanting to know what's going on, being scared, and then once the cat's out the bag, totally two different different characters.
It was great. She did amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm loving whatever phase Dan Stevens is in right now. I am here for it.
Yeah.
I loved, he was kind of an a-hole in this movie, but like an idiot a-hole in this movie.
Yeah.
And then him and Godzilla X Kong, I love that role. So.
Having fun.
Yes, keep having fun, my dude. You're I'm here for it, for sure. Yeah, let's more of this. Definitely more of this. I had a blast. I would, if this is your type of jam, you'll love it. I'm here to tell you. And even if it's not, might be worth taking a shot.
Yeah.
So again, it's not like it's
basically if you like Ready or Not and Scream, the new Scream movies.
Right. You'll enjoy this.
Yeah.
You'll enjoy it. So I even told Ruth as much too.
Yeah.
Because I've been trying to get Ruth to watch Ready or Not for a hot minute. And I told you or too. I said you need to watch that too.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll watch, if you don't watch with your mom, we'll watch it. Cause I saw it's on, I mean it's on Hulu through FX.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have it on iTunes. So if she watches it with her, then she can watch it there. But to watch it here, we'll just watch on that. So
yeah.
Yep. What a fun movie. That's just big dumb fun. Love it. Jete. All right. Coming out this week, we have Challengers with Zendaya, two dudes in tennis.
Yeah. That's all the description you need.
Pretty much. Then we have Boy Kills World, which I finally saw the trailer for that. It looks pretty dope.
Yeah.
We have the 45th anniversary of Alien coming back to theaters. So I'm going to try and hit that one up. And then the 25th anniversary of The Mummy with Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
And I don't know how that's 25 years, but it is.
Hmm. I mean, it's definitely.
It is. Let me go ahead and tell you it is, but it's just wild that it's already there. So, and that's what we have coming out this week. Good times.
Yeah. It's been a pretty good week as far as movies go. Yeah. I mean, I did check out that Deep Sky documentary.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's basically just space. They built a new telescope and giving us new images of the universe, seeing different galaxies that the Hubble telescope can only give so much. And this kind of digs deeper. So I was like, ooh. Definitely unlocking the secrets of the universe.
That's awesome. Yeah. Love it.
I just wish it was longer. It's only 40 minutes.
Right?
I wish it was like an hour and a half or something, at least.
Right?
You know.
Yeah. It's just going for best documentary short.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep. And that's okay. All right, friends. We will talk to y'all next week.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed our show and have a moment, please rate and review. It helps us out a lot.
Also, recommend us to someone that enjoys movies or also has kids.
You can find us on Twitter at PA Movie Podcast and on Instagram at Parental_Advisory_Movie_Pod. Be sure to join our Facebook group, Parental Advisory Movie Podcast, and join in on the fun.